Yep.
Okay, so let's call this. We ready?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, so I'd like to call this meeting to order. Due to recommendations to limit gatherings to no more than 10 people in order to help slow the spread of COVID-19 virus, public access to the meeting will be provided via conference call to listen and participate in the meeting. Members of the public who would like to call in, dial 918-221-0224 and enter 222-5929-465-POUND when prompted for the access code. We ask that you mute your phone if possible. Audio recordings of all board meetings will be posted on our website, www.storycountyiowa.gov, after the meeting is concluded. You may access these recordings at any time by clicking on the Meetings and Agenda button on the home page. Okay? So, first thing I want to do is, I would like to take roll call of the Board of Health members that are present. So we're going to, I'm going to say your names. John?
Here.
John. Okay. Molly?
Here.
Louise?
Here. Sorry.
Mark? Mark? Spec?
I'm here.
Here. Okay. And Supervisor Lisa Hedens?
I'm here.
Very good, thank you. Okay.
I'm here too, John.
Oh, Lisa. Yeah, okay. I'm sorry, I have to hold Molly. I think Molly signed you in.
Okay,
so is there anyone else from the audience who would like to identify themselves at this time?
Yes. My name is Jeff Abelson. Here are names.
Okay. All right. Anyone else?
Heather Bombi.
Thank you.
Wes White, Story County Public Health.
Okay.
Aaron Baldwin. Kristen Lisa. Just listening.
Michael Newton.
Okay.
Great. Randy Anderson, avid Cyclone fan.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. Okay. So the next thing I kind of want to bring up before we call for an approval of the agenda is that there are only 30 lines on our phone conference line. We apologize for this. We just found out about this morning. But if a lot of people call in, the last ones that call in might not be able to get online. We expect this to be a meeting where people will have a lot to say about this, which is good. And because we do want to get out of here sometime, we're going to limit public comments to 2 minutes. You'll be able to have your chance to say something, but we do want to limit it to 2 minutes. Okay? The other thing I wish to say is that it must be remembered that when it comes to COVID-19, that all we give is recommendations. For me, who's a pediatrician, I'm used to this. All I give is recommendations in my office. And that's what we will be giving here today, hopefully by the time this meeting is over. I would also like to make a personal note that I do not speak in this role for McFarland Clinic, but I speak and answer to the citizens of Story County and the Board of Health, as well as my fellow Board of Health members. Okay, so I'm very good at wearing two hats, and this hat is a Board of Health hat. Okay, so we have one item on the agenda, and I'd like to call for approval of the agenda, please.
So moved.
Is there any questions about the agenda? Okay, All right, all those in favor of approval of the agenda, please say aye. And again, I'll go by roll call. John?
Aye.
Molly?
Aye.
Louisa?
Aye.
Mark?
Aye.
Okay, thank you. So, and I will say aye also. So the agenda is approved. Lisa is, just for those of you on the line, is an ex officio member from the Board of Supervisors, so she does not vote. Okay, so here we go. Our item for agenda is discussion and consideration of recommendations to mitigate further COVID-19 spread in Story County.
Dr. Passion?
Dr.
Passion, you skipped over public forum.
Yes. What?
Number three on your agenda is public forum.
I'm sorry. Thank you. Thank you, Lisa, for catching me on that. I forgot to ask about the public forum. This is a time for members of the public to offer comments concerning matters not scheduled to be heard before the Board of Health. Does anyone wish to speak on a subject that is not to be heard tonight? Okay. All right. Thank you, and thank you for reminding me about that, Lisa. I tend to forget that a lot. Okay? So we're on to our discussion and consideration of recommendations to mitigate further COVID-19 spread in Story County. I sent to the Board of Health members, and we posted it on the agenda calendar, a working kind of document that I put together from my observations, experience, and what I've been reading in the literature about how to prevent COVID-19. A couple of things about this working document is part of what we should do tonight is, one, make sure that anything that we recommend is actually has a medical basis to it, okay? It's also important for us to understand that this is a general document for the public to follow. It is not meant to be an extensive discussion of how COVID-19 is spread. And we have to remember that we have to kind of keep, you know, out of the weeds in a lot of this stuff. Board of Health member Molly Lee has made some very interesting kind of comments, and if there is no objections, the way I'd like to handle this is I kind of like to go paragraph by paragraph so we can talk about each point as it comes up. Does that sound okay to you guys?
Sounds good.
Okay. All right. So let's get started. First of all, the beginning. With the current surge of COVID-19 that the county is experiencing, as well as the anticipation of the return of university students from all over the country, we at the Story County Board of Health feel it is important that everyone in the county should continue to practice mitigation to prevent the spread of COVID-19. The lower guidelines we expect to be followed. They are based on published CDC standards as well as common sense. Anyone reading this will notice the emphasis on wearing masks. We cannot emphasize enough the importance of everyone wearing masks when out in public or around people. While certain masks are better at preventing the spread of COVID-19, any mask worn over the nose and mouth will help. N95 or surgical grade masks are best, but cloth masks also work well. Okay? So, that paragraph is out there. What do you guys think about that? What kind of changes do you want to make? Do you think we should?
Okay, this is Louisa Sabatabai. I agree with Molly to perhaps remove N95 or surgical grade masks, according to her comments that these are used for medical personnel. Personally, I would also like to add, or just say cloth masks or shields. apparently shields has been discussed now by the medical literature as a very good method to provide protection.
Okay. You know, I think the addition of shields is a very, very good idea, and that is something. I will tell you that I put in the N95 or surgical-grade mask as I see my patients come in to my office with N95s and or surgical-grade masks. So they are getting them, and so they are out there. And yes, I want to make sure that people knew that they didn't have to just have that. Okay, so so that is why I added that in.
Okay, John, this is Louisa. I agree with you. They are available because myself, I have construction like N95 shields, masks, so I know they were available and I'm using that, plus surgical shields, so they're now available almost anywhere. Thank you.
Okay. You know, and I have no problems striking that if we would like to. We would, I do like the emphasis on masks, though. Just from my literature reading, it's all about masks, man. In fact, I the only reason I even talk a lot about social distancing is because it is so recommended for the social distancing, but it's the mask seem to be the single most important thing. So what are your suggestions for changing that last sentence?
I prefer to ask shields. This is Louisa, masks or shields.
Would you be comfortable, and Molly, since you brought this up, would we be comfortable with saying N95 or surgical grade masks are best, but cloth masks also work well? We should not, shields are, face shields are also an excellent source of prevention.
I agree. This is Molly, and I think what I've read on the CDC and other sources is that more encompassing, I guess technically correct term would be face coverings. And so I might say that and then provide examples, particularly cloth masks and face shields. And then I think it's okay to keep N95 or surgical grade masks in there, but maybe say they are effective but should be reserved for specific groups or something like that, because my understanding is that surgical masks and N95, according to what the CDC officially puts out there, is that they should be reserved for healthcare workers and other medical first responders.
So to do that appropriately, anyone reading this will notice the emphasis on face protection. Correct?
Yes, I agree. This is Louisa.
Or face coverings, how would you like that instead of wearing masks?
Yeah, I think that's good. And if you want to go through it this way, that's totally fine, but my impression for what we should do during this meeting is kind of just general concepts, saying, you know, have face coverings in there and also provide examples of different offerings, but I don't know that we need to wordsmith every sentence in this meeting.
All right. Well, you know, but we do want to be able to finish this meeting with a something we agree on. You know what? Anyone reading this will notice the emphasis on face coverings. But when people read face coverings, I think that a lot of people will be somewhat confused. And that's why I like the terminology of wearing masks. I like the idea of face shields to be put in. I think that's a very, very good idea. But when you talk to most of the people on the street, they know what a mask is. A lot of people don't know what a face shield is.
Dr. Passion, this
and
is Dr. Passion, this is Lisa. This is just a couple of comments that I have. I know at the county here, we utilize the word face coverings because there are specific OSHA guidelines when you use the word mask. And so that's why we work to make that distinction. And so I think that's maybe an avenue that you want to look at. I also, I know as you're talking about masks, but I have a question just what's in that first paragraph there that says, below are the guidelines we expect to be followed. And I'm just wondering with that sentence, to me it sounds like there's going to be some sort of enforcement mechanism. And I'm just trying to figure out what is the enforcement mechanism if that's the language you're using.
There actually is no enforcement mechanism that we have, as you well know. But you know, but one of the things that we kind of talk about is
911.
Hello. Anyways, one of the things we kind of you know, I'm used to talking about in my office is I expect my guidelines that I tell people to be followed, and kind of this is what. You know, I just kind of expect them to be. And while there are not any things that we can do to make people do it, I think a very strong statement like that, I think, is very, very reasonable. Because, you know, we just kind of, you know, it's kind of like when you say to people, gee, you know, you really can do this if you want to. But if you say to them you should do it, you're going to have more people do it if you say you should do it.
Sure, I get that reasoning. My concern only is when you put something out and say it should be expected, and then you know you're going to get people who's going to call and say, okay, people are not following this or this, then what is the enforcement mechanism? You know, is the end result to have call out law enforcement? That's what I'm just trying to figure out just by that statement. I don't necessarily disagree with the fact that if you use something stronger, people may follow along with that. But you got to have something to back it up when you're putting out that strong of a language. That's just my thoughts on that.
Hey, what's that? Ethan, are you online?
Yes, I'm online, yep.
Do you have any issues with that statement? Below our guidelines, we expect to be followed.
It's a good reminder that everyone has good intentions here, right? It's good that everyone has the best interest of Story County residents at heart. But it's also useful to remember the limits of the Board of Health authority.
Right.
And so it, in this case, there's not the, without the ability to enforce this, I thought this more of a kind of public service announcement type recommendation, not, again, I concur with the advice of maybe this isn't the best venue to wordsmith every sentence of the document. Maybe it requires a second meeting once a more refined draft is prepared. But generally, I think I agree with Supervisor Heddens that sentence should probably be rephrased. Some light editing of that sentence should be done.
Okay.
Dr. Passion, this is Senator Kornbach. I wanted to reserve my comments to the end, but Chapter 137 of the Code of Iowa gives the Board of Health some legal authority if exercised in conjunction with the Board of Supervisors. I'll go into that at the end, unless you want me to talk about that now.
Yeah, I think the end will be fine, because when we summarize this all up, I think that'd be a good spot. Okay. Well, we can put down the lower guidelines we feel should be followed. We can do it as...
We can put in there we would like to see. We would like to see people.
Suggested.
Suggested or recommended is probably better.
No.
Okay. We feel the lower guidelines we recommend.
Okay.
I think to be followed.
I think I would also recommend staying away from words like field and more like, you know, referencing CDC and scientific data and saying, you know, below our guidelines, we suggest be followed or recommend to be followed.
Below guidelines. Okay, so below our guidelines, we recommend to be followed?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm cool with that. Okay. So we want to change the face masks to face coverings, correct?
Yep.
And while certain face masks or face coverings are better than others, are better at preventing the spread of COVID-19, any face covering worn over the nose and mouth will help. N95 or surgical grades, parentheses, which, I don't know about that. N95 surgical grade masks are best, but cloth masks also.
So, Dr. Passion, this is Lisa again. This is kind of going back on what Molly said.
Doesn't seem to think they can.
After the governor's proclamation would run out on Thursday.
It needs to be that the local government could have to be more strict than the state government.
No.
I'm sorry, who else is talking?
The bird.
Okay. You know,
they need to announce themselves when they start talking.
Or they need to mute themselves. Remember, we're on a phone conference, and we cannot see when people are talking. And so it's really kind of important to kind of, if you wish to speak, identify yourself and make your statement. Side conversations on the phone are kind of hard for us to kind of deal with what we have to deal with. And I know that this is difficult without being face-to-face, but I think hopefully we'll be able to do that. Okay, so this first paragraph, I like the idea of below our guidelines we recommend to be followed. They're based on published CDC standards. We'll change masks to face coverings, and we'll add on face shields at the end. Okay?
Yes, just as Louise, it sounds good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, moving on. Okay. Any other comments on the first paragraph? I knew this was going to happen, by the way. Okay. Section 1, discussing daycares. We'll change masks to face coverings. Okay? And any other suggestions on those two paragraphs?
Yes, the first, this is Louisa Tabatabai, the first paragraph, the last line of number one, the screening of all entering children. And I would also like to add, and daycare providers.
That's a very good idea. All entering children and staff.
Correct.
I think that's a good idea.
About parents.
You know, that's actually a very good question too. Some daycares are not allowing the parents to come in, and so and there's going to have to be flexibility within each daycare. But I do notice that, at least in my practice, the people who are children who are getting exposed are being exposed to staff who are not wearing face coverings. And it doesn't seem like the children are being, you know, I kind of think we might be kind of getting into the weeds a little bit if we kind of talk about that. But I like the idea of the staff being checked also with a temperature. And Molly, you mentioned a touchless temperature. Is that correct?
I think so. I didn't have a comment particularly in this paragraph, but yeah, I do agree that a contactless thermometer would be best.
Contactless. Yep. Okay. Got it. Okay. Molly. Great. Any other suggestions on this one?
Again, this is Jeff Abelson. I was wondering, we're not including parents then?
Jeff, I think that you bring up a really good point, and I think that we have to have some leeway to each of the organizations. I think, keep in mind that the way I also look at these are minimums. Okay.
One suggestion could be if we advise adults that enter the daycare premises or something similar to that, or are in the daycare premises for longer than just the time to drop off, or, you know, tweaking the wording, obviously. But
okay. Should consider screening of parents. Consider screening of parents. Who are on the premises. You know, that might not be a bad idea because a lot of parents come in and actually do teaching and classes in daycares. Okay. I think that's a very good idea.
Could you repeat that sentence then, John, just as
we should consider, screening of all entering children and staff with a contactless temperature is highly recommended. Any daycare should consider screening of parents who are on the premises.
Okay, this is Louisa. Sounds good.
Okay. Okay, great. Okay, any other issues on that one? Great. I want, hey, Les, are you here?
Yes, I am.
Les, I really would like one of your roles to be, if you're okay with this, to pipe up if anything that we're saying is not medically indicated.
Okay, will do.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so we'll go to the next section, events gathering.
Dr. Passion, this is Lisa. Sorry, I had a comment on that second paragraph there. When you say while home daycares may feel they are better protected with the current outbreak, then you go on and say we do not feel that can be assumed. I'm just wondering if that needs to be changed to say that shouldn't be assumed and take out that we feel.
I'm kind of looking at our attorney
to see what he thinks on that. And then also, the last sentence says, we feel previous stated procedures should be followed in in-home daycares. Maybe saying something like CDC and IDPH guidelines to reduce the spread of COVID-19 should be utilized. You know, it makes it more technical versus just kind of a feeling of what the board has. But you're referencing specific guidelines.
I see what you're trying to say, and I think that's a very reasonable request, but I think that this is really pretty basic. It basically says that we think that they should do the same thing that big daycares, big profession, you know, organized daycares do. So in other words, they should follow those same type of procedures. If we start like saying that, you know, they should follow what the CDC and the Iowa Department of Public Health says, then, you know, that's kind of, you know, that means that's one more step for them to look up things to see what they need to do. Again, this is in my experience I'm having over the past 2 weeks is that, you know, I get a sense that these home daycares, they think, well, since there's only four or five of them, it's not that big of a deal. But I don't think that should be assumed. Okay? This should not be assumed. Okay? So I kind of like the idea of small home daycares may feel they are better protected with this current outbreak, that should not be assumed.
I agree. This is the way.
Okay. Very good. Okay. Anything else?
This is Molly. I just wanted to say, I think what you just said, Dr. Passion, is fine with that sentence, just the first part of that second paragraph. But I also agree with what Lisa said, and Ethan alluded to this earlier, that I think somewhere at the beginning, maybe it should be made very clear that we still recommend that all CDC and IDTH guidelines are followed, and that this is just meant to be a clarification for our recommendations on particular items.
I thought that's kind of what we said when we stated in the first paragraph that these recommendations are based on public CDC standards or guidelines, we could say.
Yeah,
and IDPH to that as well.
I think that's a good idea. Okay. Okay, great, very good. So we'll kind of work on that last beginning sentence, because I think you bring up some very good points. Okay, great. Anything else on the daycare situation? Okie dokie. Number two, events gatherings. Social distancing greater than 6 feet should be practiced. People who have already been in contact with each other and feel comfortable that they are all practicing social isolation, such as families, can be grouped together. And I think that's on the IDPH website for groups. But we feel the group should not be greater than 10. Face covering should be required for all present. Hand cleansing stations should be plentiful and encouraged to be used. Sharing of food, beverages, and utensils should be highly discouraged. The BYOS was just a joke on my part, so I'm fine striking that. Okay. And Molly, you had mentioned something about pre-prepared foods may be acceptable.
Yeah, that was just a food for thought, I guess, no pun intended, that if an event does need food, because I think we can expect that some of them might or probably will include them, that we should encourage prepackaged food.
Okay, so we should encourage the use of prepackaged foods. Okay?
I have a question. This is Louisa. The very first sentence, social distancing 6 feet or greater, I would prefer rather than greater than 6 feet.
Thank you. You know, and by the way, the things you are bringing up are not minor things, okay? These are not like spell check stuff. So I'm glad you're doing this, okay?
Okay. I have a recommendation. When you talk about sharing of food, change we recommend. Okay, so start out with recommend the sharing of food, and then bring prepackaged, as Molly pointed out.
Okay, we recommend the sharing of food, beverages, and utensils should be highly discouraged. We encourage the use of prepackaged foods.
Correct.
Okay.
Got it. I had a comment on the social distancing greater than 6 feet thing, too. I thought it might be helpful for events and gatherings to include some guidance on room or space capacity. So if we wanted to recommend a minimum of, say, 36 square foot per person, or in general saying something like consider arranging furniture or marking floors and workspaces to indicate separation.
You know, that's actually, you know, I read that comment and I'm not really sure What are the thoughts of the other Board of Health members? I mean, I kind of think that the 36 square foot per person is a hard thing for me to personally conceptualize, but I can conceptualize being 6 foot apart from somebody pretty easily. It's about the length of a couch, a full-size couch.
Yeah, I agree. 6 feet or greater is easier to comprehend than a square footage area.
I think, I know you're asking the other Board of Health members too, and so I'll be quiet in a minute, but I think we should keep that 6 foot spacing, but for, and I agree that for general public, 6 feet is easiest to visualize, but for event planners, they may be used to looking at room capacities, and so that's where I was envisioning that would be helpful.
You could put that in parentheses behind the 6 foot.
Huh. Oh, that's interesting. Social distancing, 6 feet or greater, should be practiced. Was that someone in the background? Okay. Okay. Social distancing, 6 feet or greater, should be practiced. Another option is to consider the room capacity to be 36 square feet per person. Something like that?
Sounds good.
Okay, Mark, what do you think?
Yeah, I think that sounds fine. I like the putting the 6 feet or greater. That sounds better than the way it was.
Okay, per person for room capacity. Okay, got it. Okay, here you go. All right, last two sentences on that. How about we observe that many times after the events are concluded, the attendees tend to socialize, take off face coverings, and congregate closely. This is actually from my own personal experience and discussion with my partners. When they go to religious services, they're doing a good job of checking everybody in, checking their temperature, keeping everyone apart, and wearing face coverings. But then they get out into the parking lot and the face coverings come off, everyone starts talking, and, you know, and one of my partners was saying, you know, jeepers, it was like everything that we had done in the building was like, you know, taken away. And so I kind of think that that is a very reasonable thing to ask anyone who is making one of these events or gatherings. Remember, we did when the Gilbert High School asked us our suggestions. That was one of the suggestions that we made to them, that they not be, that they watch to make sure that people don't congregate after the graduation ceremony.
John, this is Louisa. Could a sentence be added that people continue to wear face masks or face coverings after the event is over while in a public space, such as a parking lot or whatever, something like that?
Okay. So we would recommend that the same mitigation factors or same mitigation measures be used when the participants are leaving the event.
Correct. Yes.
Okay. Oh my gosh. My pen ran out. Recommend the above mitigation measures be followed after the event when people may be congregating. Okay, sounds good. Did you want to keep the sentences? This should be highly discouraged, and we recommend the attendance of an event organizer should be present to make sure that this is happening.
The organizers should recommend the practices are followed. The mitigation practices are followed following the event.
Okay. Basically the same thing, but I think that your wording is probably better. We recommend the event organizers make sure mitigation measures continue to be practiced.
Correct. Yes, that's correct.
You practice after the event. Okay. Okay. Yeah, it does kind of sound better, doesn't it?
Okay. Very good. Positive.
But you're right, absolutely. You know, and who knows? Maybe I was a little bit, tired when I wrote this. So.
But you got it all there, which is good.
you guys are helping me. Okay, got it. All righty. What do you think about the idea of event gatherings should be, we should recommend temperature screenings?
Personally, I think it's a great thing, but how will this be organized? The event organizer will be at the door.
It's not really our role to figure out how the logistics of it works. That's the role of the person organizing the event. So my suggestion would be to group together the religious services piece, since it's the same as number two above with the addition of the temperature screening, and recommend for all events gathering that temperature screening is implemented when feasible. And I don't think we should define what that means. It'll look different in different situations. So I would recommend that we just, as a best medical practice, say that this is our guidelines and add the when feasible piece and let those people figure out what's feasible.
Okay. Got it.
Louisa Tabatabai, I would then say events, gatherings, and religious services.
Okay. Okay, so a touchless temperature screening should be accomplished when feasible. Okay, very good. Yeah, it does sound better. Okay. All right. Okay, anything else on number two? Okay, back to school. Okay. So the first thing I said in the school thing was, I'm making assumptions that the Department of Education will have guidelines for the schools by the time the schools open in the fall. But I think that these are really, the stuff I put down, I think, are very reasonable things that they should do minimally. So that's why I place it there. I think the face coverings on children are going to be something that we, that on kids and sometimes in certain teenagers, it's going to be really hard to do. So I think that we're going to have to give the school some flexibility on this. You're going to have a hard time keeping a mask on a six-year-old no matter how good the six-year-old is. And the CDC does not recommend face coverings for children two or less. So I think a little bit of laxity on this, I think, is a very reasonable thing. But the major thing I want to get out of this statement was we should not be lax on our recommendations for staff.
Okay, this is Louisa. Again, I have a comment with regard to that. You mentioned schools, period. I would also add when K-12 schools resume in the fall, just to make it a little bit more specific. Would that be okay?
You want to make that pre-K to 12. This is Senator Kornbach.
Yes, pre-K to 12.
Very good idea. Okay.
And one other thing from Senator Kornbach. The Department of Public Education has been working on some guidance. They actually have some guidance out for summer school, which is remarkably weak, at least the draft that I've seen. So I think it's entirely reasonable for the Story County Board of Health to make stronger recommendations if you believe it's medically advisable.
All right. Good. I think those are all good suggestions. I would actually there and I didn't add this on my original thing. What do you think about adding in here something about schools and or maybe we need a different section on group living situations, such as youth recovery house, Lutheran Social Services, Child Serve. Maybe that needs to be a different section. What do you think about that, Lisa? I know this is kind of a little bit more up your alley.
I'm not quite sure what to say on that. You know, I'm just kind of focusing just right on the general schools. I'm going to assume those other places already have mitigation efforts and are continuing to do such things as hand washing, social distancing when they can, and wearing a mask.
Okay. Face covering,
excuse me, yes.
Dr. P, I think that that's an important omission, and it certainly would be within your purview to address it. If the institutions themselves have guidelines for their residents, that's fine, but it certainly doesn't hurt to have you reinforce that.
Okay. All right. Point well taken. Okay. Right. So what are your guys' thoughts about the statement on number 4?
This is Lisa. I noticed that you talk about wearing face, you say mask, change that to coverings. But I don't see anything referencing hand washing.
Ah. Okay. Hand cleansing should be frequently practiced.
And then,
how about that?
Yes, and then this is, at least again, a question I have on when you say face coverings are hard to keep on children, so a little laxity here may be acceptable. I mean, that's pretty broad. Your definition of laxity
that is very broad.
That is going to be different from mine. And I'm just trying to think of it. Tell it if you're giving guidelines for folks to follow, and then we say, well, you've got the laxity here. I'm just it's kind of in that same sentence with, you know, the teachers need to wear it, or the staff need to wear it. It's just unclear to me.
Okay. I understand what you're saying, but I also don't want a teacher to be having this guideline in their hands and forcing a scared 8-year-old to wear their mask.
Certainly, I understand that.
And you know, from a medical standpoint, it seems that the kid, though this has not been proven yet, but it seems like this is what a lot of preliminary data is showing, the kids don't tend to pass it on to other kids. They tend to get it from adults. But for some reason, and who knows, maybe in this current surge that we're having, we're going to find this to be completely untrue, but right now, throughout the country, we're not getting a lot of reports of breakouts in daycares. We're getting reports of teachers being positive and passing it to kids and some of the kids getting sick, but not the whole daycare getting it, like what we'll get in influenza. I guess I kind of want to, I guess the reason I put that in is I want to kind of give them a little bit of a little bit of leeway here. I see what you're saying, though. So what are your guys' thoughts? Okay.
I think that sounds very good.
Like it is, or do you think we should leave it out about the laxity? Should we allow here?
Oh, that part?
Yeah.
We can't hear at least, but
I'm not sure. There might be a better word for that, but.
I agree it's a little confusing for someone reading and wonder maybe should we just remove that whole sentence and keep our focus on the staff.
Okay, all staff should, okay, got it. I'm okay with that. Could we put down face covering should be considered on students also as applicable?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure.
Coverings should be considered on children as applicable, or students as applicable.
Just to tell you that, yes, I like that.
Okay, very good. Okay. All right. And I also put in a sentence, hand cleansing should be frequently practiced and encouraged. Okay, and we're going to change this to pre-K to 12 schools. Okay, very good. Okay, number five, athletic teams. And I want to include Iowa State University with this, but we can keep them out of this until we get to number six. The first sentence in that is, while we understand that wearing a mask during strenuous activity of sports is impossible, I think of myself, you know, there have been a lot of things that have been talked about how runners should wear masks and bicyclists should wear masks. And if you've ever tried to do that, that's really very difficult. But the thing I want to get out with its first sentence is that all coaching and support staff should wear a mask at all times other people are present. And I think that that is kind of one of the biggest things I want to kind of bring out. And, of course, not masks, face coverings.
Just with Louisa, yeah, I understand what you're saying. And I've been reading some medical literature where they followed athletes wearing masks during strenuous exercise, and they actually recommend not to wear masks because of increased CO2 levels that they experience and other problems that result of that. So I would think that the athletic personnel would know that for Iowa State, don't you think so? Or
well, I'm also thinking of athletic teams for the local baseball team and the soccer team and the swimming team.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I'm actually thinking more about at this juncture of our discussion. It's just again, face coverings are the way to go with this.
Yeah.
And thinking about when football comes in the fall, and for high schoolers, that they're going to need to kind of think about this. Okay?
Yeah.
That's Caitlin.
Oh.
state land up like Merle and Meredith.
Okay.
So somebody needs to mute their phone because we can't hear.
The one that's right on the corner of the.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Could if possible. Yeah. Could you guys mute your phone? It sounds like you're having a side conversation. Okay. So give me your thoughts on this one about athletic teams and what you think we should change. And I would like to change that first sentence. While we understand that wearing a mask during this strenuous activity is for
Dr. Passion, I'm sorry, this is Lisa. I can't hear. So whomever is talking or has the TV on in their background, I would ask that they please mute their phone so that they could have that side conversation because I just cannot hear what you're saying.
Good. Thank you very much. Okay. So I would like to change as I read that first sentence. While we understand that wearing a mask or strenuous activity of sports may not be possible, all coaching and support staff should wear a mask at all times other people are present. Social distancing should be practiced when possible. And I made this statement based on what I see our local baseball teams doing. They are making sure that the kids don't sit together in the dugout and that they socially distance themselves. And I don't know about the coaches wearing masks, but I do know that from talking to my parents, they're making groups stay together but apart from each other, and they don't even let them have tents anymore because they're afraid that people will congregate under the tents. So I kind of used what they've been doing, which I think is pretty good, as kind of a baseline for this.
Yes, I agree. The first sentence, this is Louisa, by the way. The first sentence, though, you said including Iowa State University, I would leave that for number six.
Okay, got it. Okay, I'm good with that. Okay. But you feel okay with the rest of the stuff? About group meetings and our meals should be put on hold at this time, and remote meetings should be used. Exercise sessions such as weightlifting and swimming should be staggered to allow social distancing.
Yes, that sounds great.
Okay. Sporting events should practice social distancing for spectators as well as athletes when they are not playing. Masks for spectators, coaches, and athletes when not playing should be required. Restrooms should be monitored to limit crowding. Concession stands. What do you want to do with the concession stands thing?
Should be closed. I think that's what they're recommending, as Iowa State is recommending.
Right. Okay.
You, John, you said officials. How about, coaches, how about officials?
You know, umpires. Oh, that's excellent. Okay, thank you. I keep forgetting about officials, coaches, and athletes when not playing should be required. Okay. Okay. Anything else at all? Okay. On to number six. Now remember, we have to come back and discuss about other group living situations and how we should handle that with our discussion, okay? And we'll probably need to be that at the end. But okay, Iowa State University. So the opening volley is, of course, face covering should be required for all students in classes and when in university buildings. University-sponsored gatherings should be canceled unless the above practices, see sporting events above, can be followed. Hand-cleansing stations should be plentiful and encouraged. I know we have some people from Iowa State University out there, and so if you'd like to chime in at this time, please do.
Yes, this is Louisa. Some new guidelines came out, again, from the deans. about how to proceed. I would have to go back to them. I didn't print them off. They have them in front of me, but there are very specific guidelines from the dean about this.
Okay. About
when the president has also recommended very specific guidelines.
Very good. And really, this, none of our guidelines should stop Iowa State University or anyone to practice more things than what we recommend. So again, I kind of think that this is kind of a minimum.
Correct.
Okay. All right. And Louisa, if you could get those to me, I'd really appreciate looking at them.
Yes, I will do that. They also have specific recommendations for group living situations.
See, I'd really like to look at that because I've had very interesting conversations with some people who are helping fraternities and sororities get ready for the fall. Okay?
Okay. Yes.
All right. But again, minimums.
Yes.
Okay. And the second sentence, this sentence is a little bit out there, and I know it is. But I walked through Campus Town the other night with my daughter, and we were just walking around outside, because, you know, my daughter lives with me now. And we noticed that some of the bars are closed and some of the bars are still open. And several of the restaurants had signs on their one restaurant in particular had a sign that stated that they, due to the rise in COVID-19 cases in Story County, were closed until further notice. So they reacted to what's going on in this county very nicely, in my opinion. But students, in and of themselves, are, you know, a group of people that tend not to. I mean, think about when you were a student, to my other Board of Health members. Think about when we were students. We were pretty stupid, to be quite honest. And we felt a little reckless. And the problem is they need to be encouraged what to do is right. So that's why I put that language in there. But I understand the issues with that. So what are your thoughts on that?
Well, again, the president, Wendy Winterstein, and the deans came out with language to address these problems. So I will look that up again and send that to everyone.
Yes, but would these, with what you remember from what was put out, would this sentence be an unreasonable sentence to put into our guidelines?
I think, it's my opinion, that this is okay. It's similar to what the university is putting out, so I think this is, in my opinion, okay.
And it would be great in my eyes if we made all these recommendations and everyone tells us, oh, we're already doing it already. Okay, that would be great. Yeah. Okay.
So this is Lisa, and so again, my question would be in regards to enforcement with that particular line, and I don't know, because I haven't seen the ISU letter at all, but I don't know how much the university has control over students off campus. Yes, you can make recommendations, just like the CDC and IDPH, we make suggestions or recommendations. But I'm sure they would want to be very careful to not be in a legal predicament with the wording. So that would be something I would want you to consider.
Right. I understand that. And that's why I place in there, in the strongest language the university can legally use. I understand that they have restrictions just like we do. And so I still think, though, they can be guidance for these students. And they can make these statements as strong as they feel that they can make them. And I think that's probably what their legal team should be looking at.
Yeah, this is Mark. I think that statement sounds fine to me.
Okay.
This is Molly. I'm wondering, because I think the audience for these guidelines that we're writing is mostly the general public, and then if they apply to these different groups, like we've been discussing, Iowa State has their own set of guidelines, which students and faculty and staff and everybody will be receiving information about that separately from the university. And what we're talking about here is off-campus recommendations, which, like Lisa said, the university may not have any legal authority against that. So I'm wondering if, I guess, what our purpose is for this document. Are we trying to tell the students, essentially the public, when they're off-campus to follow these guidelines, or are we trying to tell Iowa State to recommend things to students when they're off campus? Because if it's the former, I think we can keep something in this guidance. But if it's the latter, I don't know that this is necessarily the venue we need to put that in.
You bring up a really good point. The reason that this is being stated under the Iowa State University section is because the students in Iowa State University makes up half our population here in Ames, so probably about a quarter of our population in Story County. So, yeah, this is specifically... Look, this is actually pointed right at the university, not as a blame thing by any means, but more of is we think this is what you need to do. The university, has made a very, really, as I understand it, and I've only read a little bit of it here and there, of this encompassing guidelines that they report that they wish to be a part of the Ames community, which I applaud them for doing. And as part of the Ames community, you have a Board of Health in Story County that's going to give you recommendations.
Yeah, I guess what I mean is I think we can get that message to them still. We can communicate with Iowa State University. You know, they may be able to listen to the recording afterwards, or we may have some additional communication that we can do with them. And so we may or may not need to include it in this particular guidance because there may be more efficient ways to get it to them, I guess.
But this is Senator. I think it is going to be more efficient if you put it in writing with the rest of your recommendations. I don't think there is anything here that you're recommending or considering recommending that is at all inconsistent with what the university has given guidance to its students. And, of course, let's remember, students, when they're off campus, they're no different than any other citizens or any other residents of the community. So for the Board of Health to make recommendations, I think, is entirely appropriate. You may want to sit down with the university once you have these formalized and discuss it with them. But the Board of Health is looked to give its professional expertise, and I think that's what you're doing through this document.
It just reinforces what the university is going to be saying.
Right.
This is Louisa Tabatabai. I really like that sentence because the students do interact with the rest of Ames, our city. They use our public transportation, the bus system, which is nowhere mentioned. Maybe something should be said in that as well. I don't think there's any legal language that would be that couldn't be followed. It's just a general encouragement. Personally, I like that sentence. And it may be a point of also interaction of ISU officials with the City of Ames officials and our Board of Health.
So,
this is Lisa, too. I just think, just as a point of consistency, you say in that sentence social isolation, yet elsewhere you say social distancing. I think you want to be consistent. Otherwise, it gets confusing as to what you're meaning.
You know, that's actually a very good question. Social distancing is 6 foot or greater. Social isolation is not going to parties, staying away from big groups, kind of staying in your room, reading. And so I think that there is a difference with this. Social isolation is a terminology we use here in the clinic when we talk about children who have been exposed to COVID-19.
Then you probably need to have, almost definitions then. Because if social isolation is different than social distancing, people are going to want to know what the difference is.
I'm thinking about that. Anyone want to pipe in? I kind of want to stay away from a lot of definitions. At this point, purely because, again, I didn't want this statement to kind of get us stuck in the weeds. Social isolation keeps being talked about in the public eye, and also social distancing is discussed, as well as mitigation, the terminology mitigation. And I think the social isolation principles when off campus are a very reasonable thing to expect. And,
So just a question, Dr.
Keeping groups less than 10, not going to parties, not going to bars, anyways, we'll talk about that later.
Yes.
My thing
for you to think on, or just my clarification I would need, is I think of social isolation as, for example, if I need to self-isolate because I've come in contact with somebody who's positive. I'm not sure that's what you're trying to say here, so that's what I'm saying.
Social isolation is also not going out unless you need to, having only one person from your family go to the store. I mean, that encompasses social isolation and not necessarily social distancing.
I get that. I just think that
the terminology is confusing.
Yes.
Social distancing, social isolation, self-isolation. So I think maybe describing exactly what you're trying to say with examples might be helpful.
How about this? Students should be encouraged in the strongest language the university can legally use to practice the guidelines that have already been outlined in this paper when off campus.
Yes, that sounds good.
I'm not sure. I mean, where did you describe that elsewhere?
About not being in groups and wearing face coverings.
Not quite. I started to grill though.
I think the sentence needs to be in there some way. Maybe students should be encouraged in strong language to practice mitigation principles when off campus. That is very non-specific. It also encompasses the whole thing we're talking about. And it does leave some interpretation, as everything in this does, but it also gives guidance to the university to kind of tell the students to act well off campus.
I agree, John. This is Louisa.
All right.
I do too, John.
Okay.
But all right. You brought up a point a few minutes ago. We ought to have something in about mass transportation, like the bus system for students.
Yes. Yeah, because the students, just a little bit, the students use our public bus transportation also.
Okay.
So I think that's why we need that sentence in there.
Okay, so face covering should be worn on mass transit.
Yes.
Yes.
But the problem, this is Jeff Abelson. I'm wondering about the interface between social isolation and getting on SciRide. I think that SciRide is going to have to make some changes in its practices to allow this to happen. And also, just in biking around town and looking at SciRide buses, I don't see people wearing masks or face coverings. So I'm wondering about the interface there with SciRide.
What's interesting, we have our house is on Northwestern and 16th, and the bus stop is right on our lawn there, or near our lawn. And about 50% of the people that are students that are there wear face masks.
Really?
Maybe something needs to be discussed with the city of Ames or the city council of Ames.
Okay. I like the idea face covering should be worn on mass transit.
Yes, I do too, John.
Okay. I think those are really good things that we did not cover. Okay, folks, stay with us, okay? All right, I know this is a long meeting. I knew it was going to be. Hope you all had your coffee and went to the bathroom. Okay, next paragraph, group living situations. Such as dormitories and fraternity sororities are a special and difficult situation. However, certain practices can be used to mitigate risk. Again, throughout this whole document, masks will be changed to face coverings. Masks should be worn at all times except when in sleeping chambers with roommates. Dining should be staggered to allow social distancing. Hand cleansing should be encouraged. Social events should be canceled unless permissible. Outlined in sporting events can be followed. All group living situations. This is what I think is an important thing that we need to put in. And I'm not sure if this is happening, but I think that it needs to be. All group living situations need to develop a plan of how to isolate a student who is found to be COVID-19 infected.
As I mentioned, John, the university has some guidelines that I read about. I will forward that to you about
Yes, to all of us. Yep.
And to all of you.
Yeah, and I guess the issue is, I really think that this needs to be, again, minimums. More is fine. When we look at these, we kind of think, well, do you disagree with this recommendation? Is this not medically indicated? Should they not do it? You know, I think that last sentence on that I think is a very important one that I do want to keep in no matter what.
So Dr. Passion, okay. This is Lisa. So
yes.
You have a comment of, instead of mask, saying face covering should be worn at all times except when sleeping in chambers with roommates. I'm assuming that people are not going to wear a mask when they're showering or eating. Or there may be other exceptions. I guess the other thing I would want to make a comment throughout this document is I'm just not seeing anything of folks not wearing a mask for if they've got breathing issues or need some other ADA accommodation. And I think you want to make sure you are reflecting that as well.
That's a very good point. That should be put in our first paragraph. That is an excellent point, okay? That there are times when face coverings are not indicated, such as a child under 2 years of age, or if they have difficulty breathing, or they cannot remove the mask by themselves. So that's kind of what I think that's what the Iowa Department of Public Health website says. Okay? Okay. I will add that in. Okay?
Maybe you should mention also, according to IDPH recommendations.
Okay. Very good. Okay. Sounds good. I think that's a very important thing. Okay. Anything else at all? All right. Next statement. Okay, this is a final note, and I use language that might not be appropriate, we might want to change, but the reason I think that this is, to me, something that the Board of Health needs to make a statement that this is what we recommend, that they have, that they, we have to cancel spectators and sporting events this fall. I was very close to campus, and there is just no way I can think of Iowa State having a plan that will be able to control the masses of human beings that come to a football game or even a basketball game, and especially even if they were able to do something in the stands, they've got to be able to control the tailgaters. And I feel like we're kind of at a point that the Iowa State Fair Board was. They made a decision to cancel the Iowa State Fair because they could not conceive of a way to make it safe during COVID-19. So that's why I put that statement in. Okay?
John, this is Louisa. I believe I got an email yesterday or the day before, that Iowa State is considering spectator-less football games. I'm not sure about basketball games, but I know spectator-less football games, I believe.
I think that is all excellent. That is all excellent. But I think this is kind of where the such and such hits the fan. I think this is my opinion. I think we need to make a stand on this.
So this is Lisa again.
Okay.
So how does that differ focusing on Iowa State athletics, but then a number five is allowing other school athletics?
If they follow those things, and what this statement says is we do not feel that there's any feasible way that they'll be able to do that. And it's just a volume of people. There's going to be maybe 20 or 30 people at a baseball game in Ames, but there's going to be, 20,000 people at a football game. I mean, it is different. I'm sorry, it just is. And if Iowa State says that they can keep the tailgaters to be separated and not get them mixing with each other, and that they can, or they can stop tailgating altogether, and they can have people spaced out in the stand, I just cannot see that happening. And I'm going to bring up too, the world is actually following these recommendations on spectator sports. I mean, soccer, the single most popular sport on this planet, is being played to empty stadiums. The teams are playing, but there's no spectators in the stands. And I think this is kind of, I mean, change the wording if you want to. I had a little poetic license, but I feel really strongly about this, that I think this needs to be a stand that the Board of Health takes.
This is Molly, and I agree. I think that having large sporting events with spectators at Iowa State is a very risky thing for COVID transmission, and so I think your comparison with the state fair was a good one. I also think we can probably maybe work on some word tweaking to address things like what Lisa said, where we can also encompass other large events so we're not necessarily singling out this event only while still maybe using it as a specific example still or something like that.
Right. I think you see what I'm trying to say too is I really feel we need to stand for no spectator sports this fall, and especially when they're large and they can't socially distance.
Yes, that's what Iowa State is considering, no spectators. So I will get the information to you.
Which is great. So then maybe this will be an overkill, okay? But I still think we should go on record as saying it.
No,
yes. Hello, this is Jeff Abelson. I agree with John. I think we ought to take a good stance here. When this appears in the Ames Crib, people will be able to say, this is what the Department of Public Health has to say about this, and then they can weigh their decision.
No, I should clarify.
Whatever Iowa State comes up with.
Jeff, I need to clarify that. Jeff, this is Lisa. I need to clarify that. This would not be something coming from the Department of Public Health. This is
right,
the Board of Health, and this is
absolutely
different.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I just wanted to make sure you're clear on that.
Yes, I know. I was not clear. I'm talking about the Board of Public Health, not the department. I think that people need to have this information from the board so they can weigh their decisions against what you guys are recommending.
Okay. All right. So this is probably the single most controversial issue that we'll be dealing with tonight. So what are people's thoughts on this? John Kluge?
I just don't see how you could socially distance anybody at a football or a basketball game.
Okay. Mark?
Yeah, I think, it's a tough one, I'll say that. It kind of depends on where we're at with COVID-19 come fall,
We can always change this. We can always, if COVID-19 goes away, but again, we're going to have to remember that come August 15th, Ames is going to get an influx of students from all over the state, really all over the country. And it's gonna be a whole new population that's here. As anyone who lives near campus knows that when this happens, things change for the good. I mean, we get our vibrancy back, and things open up, and it's part of the reason that living in Ames is just such a great experience. But this issue, I think, really we need to kind of do.
Yeah, I think if it hasn't changed any, gotten any better than it is now, then I think we have to stick with what we've said here.
Okay, so I'm hearing from the majority of you that you want to go ahead with this statement, but and Molly was talking about tweaking the language. Do you have any suggestions, Molly?
Well, my comment was kind of to address what Lisa had said, just to make sure there's no confusion between sporting events or Iowa State and other sporting events. So I think I agree that we should maintain the point of what you're trying to say, that these events are risky and they should be canceled. And I don't know off the top of my head what wording I would suggest, but
basically, I'm thinking something like, I don't know. I'd have to think about it a little bit. What I was kind of thinking was spectators should not be at events, at sporting events, okay. And then we see. So I think, and I don't really have the specific edits thought through, but in general, what I was thinking when I said that comment was maybe reversing it a little bit and saying something like spectators should not be at sporting events except for small team sports. Maybe provide a number example that would allow these small city sports or high school sports to have spectators, and then make a very clear example that Iowa State University spectators should not proceed.
That's one of the reasons why this is under Iowa State University, that section. We've already addressed athletic teams on the previous section, number 5, and this is specifically our recommendations for half the population of Ames, Iowa State University. And I kind of, you know, I kind of, I do not think it's the same thing. I do not think Iowa State University sporting events are the same thing as Ames High sporting events. And I think that they make Ames High sporting events, you know, safe, relatively safe. But I don't think that Iowa State University, with the masses of people who come in, can make it safe.
Yeah, I agree completely. That's why I'm saying I think we want to make sure that the difference is clear, and maybe it is, since it's under the Iowa State University section. But what I was hearing from other comments was that maybe it was confusing. And so that's all I was trying to address. But if we think that it's clear, since it's under Iowa State University and the other sporting events is under athletic teams, and maybe we're removing that including Iowa State University point after number 5, I'm not really sure.
Yeah, we are. We are.
Okay, so that might address that concern then.
Yeah, and this is Lisa. My question or comment earlier more was for a point of clarification or distinction between the two.
Right. Okay. I think those are reasonable things, but I also kind of think the way that this is worded and grouped, I think it looks, at least, especially since we dropped out the including Iowa State University under athletic teams, that we just basically, again, it's a stand, and it sounds like the university is going, it might be a moot point, because if Lisa is correct, the university is probably already considering this, so hopefully they'll do it, but again.
John, Justice Solis, bye-bye. In that paragraph, a final note, can we say we strongly recommend Iowa State University cancel spectators at sporting events?
I don't think we have any authority. I think it's just like...
Rather than implore, you strongly recommend...
Yeah, implore. Oh, sure. I had my thesaurus out, so... So we request... Or what did you say?
I said strongly recommend.
Or strongly recommend.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
I like that wording also.
Vernon Abbott.
What?
Vernon and Steve Wordley. I was at a different meeting. I just want to know if we've addressed the issue of masks in stores.
I don't think we did.
No, we didn't.
Is it a good time to address that now? I'm not sure.
Oh, I think that's the one. We've got one other thing we have to add on after we get through to this, in group living situations, and for businesses. So I think that would be a good thing to talk about. I've got a couple of ideas for that. I did not include it on my first draft, but I thought we probably should.
Oh, great. Okay.
Okay. All right. So that'll be added on. So back to the Iowa State University, we strongly, and a final note, we can drop the final note thing. We strongly recommend Iowa State University to cancel spectator sports this fall. For spectators at sporting events this fall, please only broadcast them. We cannot think of any way that events can be made even remotely safe with the masses of people from all over the state who routinely attend these events. The last sentence, please do it for the health of our community, is kind of hokey, but I believe it 100%.
John, this is Louisa. When you say from all over the state, it might be even from other states as well.
Yeah, right. They're thinking of various grounds for this.
As well as other states.
Okay.
Routinely? Okay. From all over the state, as well as other states who routinely attend these events.
Correct.
Okay. Great. Okay. Shall we move on? We've got a couple other things we have to kind of address that I want to address tonight.
Okay.
Okay, all right. Okay, so, I'm sorry, if anyone's trying to talk, please identify themselves, and if you're not, could you mute your phone? Okay, so, two areas that I think we should talk about as being part of our document are living situations such as life, death, and childhood. So, Lisa, what's your thoughts on this?
This is Lisa. I cannot hear again. So whomever's on the phone or is doing a sidebar conversation, they really need to mute their phone.
Yeah, please. Yeah. So, excuse me. Can I say something? If you're not speaking, please mute your phone. Okay. All right. So, Lisa, what's your thoughts on group living situations such as ChildServe, using shelter services? What should be our recommendations there? Or do you feel that those are well enough in place that we should leave well enough alone? You probably have a better sense of this than anybody.
Well, I think the majority of them are, all of them are following guidelines from the CDC and IDPH. I'd probably have to defer to, I believe, Heather's on the phone for that, for what, but they do have guidelines out for, like, long-term type facilities. I know I've seen with folks that they're wearing the mask, they're doing the best of social distancing, limiting the number of people that are, you know, with the exception of staff, because staff needs to come in, but, you know, taking temperatures daily of the individuals and staff, just limiting general people coming into the building to help mitigate or minimize any potential exposure. Teaching them how to wash their hands, making sure they are doing it for that 20 seconds or more. Kind of what's already out there, just emphasizing that needs to be the continual practice and the reason why they need to continually practice that.
So you bring up a very, very good point. So thank you for that insight. Why don't we make a statement that for group living situations, off campus, how else should it be worded? Group living situations the Board of Health encourages them to continue to follow published Iowa Department of Public Health guidelines for group living situations.
Dr. Patterson, this is Lash, and I would totally agree with that. We've worked with a lot of the organizations, and we follow what IDPH does, and they're doing a very fine job.
And what should be our terminology? Is it group living, or is it what should this be under?
I'm not sure. You could call it group living.
Okay.
Group living. They really live, but child serve, they don't really live there, do they?
Some do.
I don't know that anyone lives at the Ames Child Serve one. That I'm not sure on. I know they do in Des Moines, but I don't know, or in Johnston, that they have anyone in Ames for Child Serve. I could be wrong on that. I know there. I know
not,
that.
That's not in Story County.
Right.
Okay, so we, the Board of Health, recommend that group living situation should continue to follow the published Iowa Department of Public Health guidelines.
Yeah, and
how about that?
Les, this is Lisa. Does Iowa Public Health have specific, because I've pulled up the CDC, and they've got specific guidelines for group homes for individuals with disabilities. They have guidance for shared or congregate housing. Do you refer to the, or defer to the CDC guidelines, or do you have other guidelines?
We refer to the IPH guidelines, and I'll have to look those up to see exactly what it's called. It would be very similar, though, terminology, as what Lisa just said.
John, this is Louisa Tabatabai. Does that include adult daycare living?
I think it should. Shouldn't it, Les? Group living?
At this point, adult daycare, like Cartland, isn't open yet. But they have, you know, the governor, I believe, came out and said that they could open if they could follow the mitigation guidelines. So I'm just trying to look here and see if I can find the appropriate terminology. If I do, I will let you know.
Okay, well, can I, you're looking at it now?
I'm trying to, yeah.
Okay, well, can we let this kind of rest a little bit so you get us a little bit more guidelines on this?
Yes.
And then
yes.
I'd like to bring up another thing that I'd like to discuss tonight. It was brought up by one of our spectators that we talk about face coverings in stores and businesses. Do we want, as a Board of Health, to make a statement that under businesses, that the Board of Health recommends that all businesses require their staff to wear face coverings and practice social distancing when possible, period. We would also go further to recommend that if at all possible, they should require it of their customers.
I agree with adding a section on businesses. I think maybe another, and I think that language sounds good, and maybe another thing we should add is that sick employees should be allowed to stay home.
I really like that idea. Okay.
Yes, this is Louisa. Yes, I agree with that.
Okay. So the Board of Health recommends that all businesses should require of their staff the wearing of face coverings. Okay, businesses require of their staff the wearing of face covering and practicing social distancing when possible. We go further, okay, we also strongly encourage, when possible, requiring customers to wear face coverings.
Can we take off the when possible? Because if we're just saying encourage, then certainly that implies when possible.
Okay. And practice social distancing. Okay. Got it. I'm fine with that.
Okay.
We further recommend customers to wear face coverings.
Yes, I like that idea.
Yeah.
Okay.
We further recommend that businesses require. I mean, that's stronger. And it's, we're not saying they have to because we can't, but at least it's saying we, strongly
should.
Yeah.
We recommend businesses should.
Because we have some that do, like Menards out there.
Okay.
They'll tell you one when you walk in the door.
Well, actually, and then they don't do it at the other home supply store. And guess how many people are wearing masks in Menards, like you mentioned? About 99.9%, and about 10%, of which I was one of them, are wearing a mask in the other one. Okay, all businesses should require their staff to wear face coverings and practice social distancing, period. We further recommend businesses should require customers to wear face coverings. Sick employees should be allowed to stay home. I think that's kind of a pretty strong statement that I agree with. Okay? All right.
Yeah, I like that statement. As a matter of fact, a few weeks ago, I went to Staples and they had a sign on their door that we require customers to wear face masks. It wasn't there today, but it was a few weeks ago.
Yes. A lot of this statement is just a reminder of what this county has been doing until recently, that they need to kind of continue to do it.
Exactly. I agree with that, John.
Okay. All right. Okay. So, Les, any other word on the group living situation?
No, there is the Iowa guidance for senior centers and adult daycare program.
Okay.
They have not, I'm sorry, I cannot find the one I'm looking for group living situations.
We, the Board of Health, recommend that group living situations continue to follow the published IDPH CDC guidelines. How about that?
I think that would be great. Thank you.
Lisa, what do you think about that?
You could do that. The only thing is I'm not sure if there are published IDPH ones, and that would just be my concern if people are looking for that or if IDPH links to the CDC guidelines. That I don't. I'm not sure.
I think you're right. I think it links to the CDC as I'm looking for that.
Mm-hmm. Got it. So what we'll do is we'll continue to follow the published CDC guidelines for COVID-19 mitigation.
Yes, thank you.
So that basically says in that statement that we think you guys are doing a great job. Keep doing it. Kiyok?
Yes, I agree.
Okay.
This is lovely stuff.
Okay. All right. Okay, got a pretty long document here. Final paragraph is again me just writing, but I kind of wanted to make this statement say that we have done an awfully good job in Story County. And we can get back to where we were. It's a statement that I want to give out hope and a kind of encouragement for people to do what they should do. And my last three sentences is just my kind of weird way of looking at the world, you know? Do it for yourself, do it for your neighbor, do it for the world. That's how I think about everything.
So, John, this is Senator Kornbach. I'm sorry to disagree with you, but I think this paragraph is a little too self-congratulatory. According to Iowa Department of Public Health data, over the last 7 days, Story County has had 208 new cases of COVID. 208, that's the second highest county in the state, second only to Polk County. It's almost twice as much as Johnson County, almost twice as much as Pottawatomie County, which is Council Bluffs. Better than three times Blackhawk County, which is Waterloo. We moved from number four county to number two county in the last week. So the last couple of weeks have been brutal. Somebody told me New York Times said that Ames had the, fifth fastest growth rate of infections in the whole country. So I think we need to be a little less self-congratulatory and a little more sounding a warning bell here. We're catching the brunt of it right now.
Senator Kornbach, I cannot argue with you. You bring up a very good point. I was kind of thinking about what it was like 3 weeks ago. Okay. Where I do feel we were doing a good job, but I also understand that statement. We fully understand that what we are proposing is difficult and also that no mitigation plan is foolproof. However, if these principles are followed, we can get and keep this virus under control until the availability of a vaccine. We'll cut off a line, Story County, up to this point. Okay? And put it down as our last sentence, we can get there.
I would change the middle sentence to read something like, lately we have seen a significant upsurge in COVID cases.
Okay. I think we kind of say that in our first paragraph. We can repeat it, but with the current surge of COVID-19 that the county is experiencing, that's our first opening line.
Okay. Well, look, I'm not trying to do wordsmithing here.
I think what you're saying is very, very reasonable, and you bring up a good enough point that I think that I would agree with the dropping out that sentence about Story County up to this point.
John, this is Louisa Spotify. Also read that article in New York Times that AIDS was mentioned in Story County, that during the last week it had the highest surge in the country.
Yeah.
So that information is out there. So we have to choose our words correctly for the last paragraph. I agree with Senator Kornbach.
Okay. I think we need to kind of make a statement, all right, fully proposed. However, with the current rise in cases in Story County, which is quite remarkable, we feel that these guidelines need to be followed.
I would take out the I feel. You might want to say we recommend these guidelines be followed.
Okay. With the current rise in cases in Story County, which is quite remarkable, should I put that in?
I prefer that is not in there.
Okay, got it. Okay. With the current rise in cases in Story County, we recommend these guidelines are followed.
Correct. Yes, I like that, John. This is Louisa.
These guidelines are followed. End of story.
Yes.
We fully understand that what we are proposing is difficult and also that no mitigation plan is foolproof. However, if these principles are followed, we can get and keep this virus under control until the availability of a vaccine. With the current rise in cases in Story County, we recommend these guidelines are followed. Okay?
I agree, Louisa.
Okay. Okay. Long meeting, guys. We have a couple other things we need to do. First of all, does anyone wish to make comments from the audience who's been listening very patiently to us going back and forth?
John, this is Senator Kornbach. I said early on that I had a few additional comments. If this would be an appropriate time, I'd like to enter those in the record.
Absolutely. You've been very patient
okay.
with them.
I think it's been an excellent discussion. Two very quick procedural points. First, as we have been meeting on the phone, I've gotten at least one email, and there may be more, from people who tried to call in and got locked out. I was hoping that you would be willing to take input or comment from people. I know that there are several people working in the League of Women Voters who are interested in this subject. But I'm looking at the Board of Health's website. There is no email contact there. Would you be willing to take an email, and if so, what email should people use?
Yes, that's a good question, and I think that's a very good point. I'm trying to get off the McFarland Clinic email system for this type of thing, which I know I should have done years ago, but I'm starting to do it now. Why don't you try me at a Passion for Iowa, APASCHENFORIOWA @gmail.com. And I would be more than happy to screen those and then make sure that we get on to the other Board of Health members.
You might see if you couldn't get us a email address and an official one, and then put that on the Board of Health's web page. That would be for input for you and for the whole board. The second thing, when you have a final draft of this document, you need to then think about a plan for promulgating it, and I would recommend that you set up meetings with the mayors, the school superintendents, with ISU administration, and don't forget we've got a DMAC campus in town. You need to get the word out. Not everybody, in fact, very few people these days subscribe to the newspaper. No offense to the Tribune or reporters on the line. Now, there are a couple of formal things that I wanted to address. Like I say, this has been a terrific discussion. You've got a lot of great ideas here, and a lot of them are just fine as recommendations. But you do have a legal authority here, and you should be aware of that. Chapter 137 of the Code of Iowa and Section 104 addresses the powers and duties of the local Board of Health. It says the local Board of Health shall, and this is subparagraph 1B, make and enforce such reasonable rules and regulations not inconsistent with law and the rules of the state board as may be necessary for protection and improvement of public health. I'll go back a little slower on that. Make and enforce reasonable rules. You have the power to make rules. Now, the paragraph goes on to say that for those rules to come into effect, they have to then be adopted by the Board of Supervisors. So you can't act entirely on your own, but in conjunction with the Board of Supervisors, you do have a legal authority. Reasonable. They have to be reasonable rules. I think in most cases that's the easiest hurdle to clear here, especially if you're talking about face masks that we were just talking about. You know, CDC recommends face masks. The Iowa Department of Public Health recommends face masks. That's easy. The inconsistent with law and rules of the state board, that's a little bit more challenging. As you know, the governor has issued a proclamation. Actually, she's issued 18 of them. I counted them on the website today. The last one of which, she's been going sort of a week or two at a time,
The current one expires Thursday night at midnight. If that is not renewed, then the Board of Health has no impediment, as far as I'm concerned, to adopting formal rules. So that if some of these things that you've been talking about, like face masks to businesses, are things that you think should be enacted into rules, you have that legal power. Now, if the proclamation is extended, I believe that you still have legal authority. And if the language here is continued, and it's been pretty consistent through the last half dozen versions of the proclamation since the reopening. For example, under restaurants and bars, the proclamation requires social distancing, but then it goes on to another subparagraph. It says the restaurant shall also implement reasonable measures under the circumstances of each restaurant to ensure social distancing, increase hygiene procedures, and other public health measures to reduce COVID spread, consistent with the guidance from the Iowa Department of Infectious Appeals and Department of Public Health. Okay, a lot of words there, but here are the important ones. The restaurant shall, in legislative language, that's a requirement. It shall not may. It does not say it's optional. It says they must. They shall implement, again, reasonable measures. Well, reasonable, I think, with regard to face masks, at least, is like I say, that's easy. Increased hygiene practices, face masks would follow there. Other public health measures is catch-all language. Consistent with the guidance of Iowa Department of Inspections and Appeals in Public Health. Well, you've got all of those met. The governor's proclamation says that restaurants have to implement additional reasonable measures, but it does not specify what those are. The governor has left that field open, and I believe that that is an opening that the Board of Health, the local Board of Health, can fill. In fact, I think you should, in order to give proper guidance to our restaurants as to what reasonable measures might be. I think that you have the opening, if you choose to use it, even under the correct proclamation, to write enforceable rules. Now, whether you choose to do so is up to you and the Board of Supervisors, but I think given the recent surge in infections in this county, more explicit guidance, which would be allowed even under the proclamation, and certainly is necessary if the proclamation is not renewed, I think that is absolutely good public policy, and I would hope that you would give that serious consideration.
Well, thank you. I think that's a very reasonable thing that you bring up. I'm also going to find it very interesting to see if she renews the health emergency declaration. I think this deserves, at the very least, again, to be brought up. I will tell you, Herman, we have brought this up in the past, and we have basically been a board that can give recommendations but doesn't have any way of enforcing it. But things may change on Thursday, at least from what we read. And so I think it's something that this Board of Health has to kind of take to heart.
Well, John, Chapter 137 gives you the legal authority working with the Board of Supervisors. So that is absolutely clear. And by the way, similar language to what I just went over with regard to restaurants and bars, similar language appears in the proclamation with regard to fitness centers, barbershops and salons, theaters, and malls. So there's a pretty wide range there that needs to be filled in. Okay, that's it for me.
Dr. Patrick,
yeah,
could I ask Anderson here with a quick comment?
Please.
Two things. If you go to the Story County government, Story County Iowa webpage at storycountyiowa.gov, and you go under boards and commissions and board of health. There's an email contact to submit questions to Stephanie Jones, and there's a link right there on the web page. So there is the option. There is the official channel to contact the board of health there, and that's on the website. Secondly, I'm going to have to...
Thank you for saying that.
And secondly, I have to disagree respectfully with Mr. Kornbach on his legal analysis. I gave an opinion to the Board of Health back in the beginning of May, and I believe I'm agreeing with Attorney General Tom Miller that, in fact, the Board of Health does not have the authority that Mr. Kornbach thinks they have.
Will we have that authority if the emergency is lifted?
That's an interesting...
That was going to be my question.
That's a very good question, and that's what I've been researching this afternoon. I think when you look at what's inconsistent with state law or order, you have to think about what they've cited in these attorney general opinions as Iowa Code 135-141. And the fact that they've created this division of acute disease prevention and emergency response established within the department. And it would seem to be, again, I'm researching that this afternoon. Stay tuned. I should have some more guidance on that later. But it would seem to be that even in that case, then know that the governor has co-opted that. And there's a large difference when we're talking about, as Mr. Kornbach did, the door being left open. That's very different, and that's certainly not the same as a delegation of authority. So there's different legal issues here, and I would, at this stage, with the current proclamation in place, those authorities stand with the proposition that in a public health disaster, a coordinated manner, the response is supposed to be comprehensive. And authorizing local boards to issue their own orders or pass their own local emergency proclamations, inconsistent with state orders, proclamations, and plans of action, could frustrate the comprehensive coordinated public health response to the disaster. So I don't think, I'm just going to respectfully disagree with Mr. Kornbach and keep my advice in the same line as what the AG has said. And when and if the proclamation is lifted on Thursday, which at this point, I doubt, but if it is, the county attorney will be ready with some advice for the board at that time.
Thank you.
Can I ask, do you have anything in writing from the attorney general?
I'm relying upon the frequently asked questions regarding the COVID-19 pandemic updated on April 20th, 2020. I'm relying upon a legal memo from the Iowa Attorney General's office concerning county and city home rule powers. There isn't a date on this document, but I believe I got it about the same time, April-May timeframe. And I'm relying upon
Does this specifically address the issue in the proclamation that requires restaurants to take additional measures but does not specify them?
No, I'm talking about the general authority versus delegation versus leaving open. And unless the authority...
Chapter 137 delegates to the Board of Health very specific legal authority.
Okay, guys, this sounds like a legalese argument that may have very good merit, but we're kind of getting towards the end here. And in the past, Mr. Anderson has put us in the right direction, and actually he's also the expert that the Board of Supervisors uses as well as this county, so I'm going to defer to him right now. I appreciate it, Ethan, that you will be able to give us guidance if the proclamation is lifted on Thursday. And then
I would appreciate copies of any documents on which you're relying, and I can give you my email address. It's hcqbach@gmail.com. But I would also point out to you that the Attorney General's opinion is advisory, not dispositive.
Okay.
In other words, it's worthy of respect, but it isn't the final word. We have very serious public health issues here. The worst that can happen is the Board of Health and the Board of Supervisors exercise authority that some court decides they don't have. The worst that can happen is that you get overturned. The best that can happen is that you save lives.
Okay. All right.
You had asked earlier for public input.
Yes, I have.
Could I, early at the beginning, this is Randy Anderson, the avid cyclone fan.
Oh, yes, that's right. How you introduce you.
Could I get you, we were talked to early on about having a couple of minutes. Could I make something short, just a few things that as we sat and listened and at the same time of watch some of the Iowa State, some of the comments that have come out, not on the officials, but the people.
Okay, go right ahead.
First, I'd like to thank you for your service, your time, and your expertise on this board. All of our goals are the same, to keep people as healthy and as safe as we possibly can. A couple of things writing down on notes. Number one is we're planning future events with current knowledge and conditions. The impulse is, with this current hot spot of Ames and Story County, to pull back everything. One thing to consider, Iowa State has plans. Iowa State, Wendy and her fantastic team, have published some things that were parameters. We already have our tickets for the football game. If you cancel them, they'll have to refund them. I think they would prefer to do that in 2 months, if need be, by current conditions rather than now. It would also be tough if 3 weeks, most of this is passing and something changes, and all of a sudden, oh, great, we can have the football game. That'd be difficult to get set up in time and have the staff and have the people. Maybe the board needs to communicate more with Mrs. Winterstein and her staff on their plans before too many inflammatory things are done. Number two, the consideration financially, not just ISU and Ames, but the whole county. It's not just what the game brings in and everything else. All the traffic in the town, which is good and it's bad, but economically, we cannot destroy the economy of Ames. Number three, operating within, and that's what you guys were just getting into, current laws and regulations on what you can and cannot do on people's rights. This is not a socialist country. Number four, realization at the end of the day, we cannot put the toothpaste back in the tube on this virus. This virus is here. The goal with shutting down everything from the government was to flatten the curve, to not overload the hospital. All those things can still be done. But my last and final thing, I've talked too long, acting with respect. Everybody, I think, has gone well. There might have been a couple of things, somebody jumped in, and I've actually appreciated the birds in the background. But even though sides may disagree, if all of them talk, I'm sure this can be worked out. And with that, I thank you very much for your time.
Okay, well, thank you for that, and I think that will be obviously put into the minutes. Okay? All right. Okay. Anyone else right now? Okay, Board of Health, what do we do now? We have this thing, this statement that needs to be reprinted up. It needs to, the corrections and inclusions need to be done over. And how do you want us to move with this? Do you want us to meet to, and Molly, you're better at words than I am. Were you keeping notes?
I was, yep, and I'd be happy to make edits and send it around to the group again.
Like what we talked about and stuff? And...
Right.
Okay, great. And then once those edits are made and the face coverings and all that kind of stuff, we can look at it over again, and then we will probably need another public meeting to approve it. And assuming that it, we will approve it, where do we want to go with this? Do we want to get it? Try to get it published. What Senator Kornbach says. Try to get it out to the stakeholders in this, or see what can if we can get it printed in the Ames Tribune, or do we want to get it approved by the Board of Supervisors before we do anything else?
I think we need to get it approved by the Board of Supervisors, don't we?
Yeah, I think if we do anything with it, I think we probably should.
This is Larissa Tabanbai. Yes, I agree with John Kruge. We need to submit it to the Board of Supervisors as an agenda item.
Okay.
For approval.
Okay, once we get the final item done, right?
Right.
Okay, all right. Lisa, when is the next meeting of the Board of Supervisors?
Well, we have one tomorrow, but we have to give notice, so that will not occur. Yeah.
And then next week after that?
Yes, but I'm going to make the assumption is that you probably want to have another Board of Health meeting to see what the final thing is you're looking at.
Right. We're going to need to.
Yeah. And if there are other things to discuss on that, it may also give time for more enforcement or legal information to be provided as well. If you're potentially making a recommendation, you may want to have that additional information.
Okay, very good. So why don't we, let's just say this, since we have to give notice, 24 hours notice, and I'd kind of like to move on this, because, you know, cases are increasing as we speak. What would you say to another meeting, by phone, of course, Thursday night?
That's what worked for me, this is Louisa.
Molly, do you think you'll be able to get us a final copy by then?
Yep, I can do that.
That means we need the final draft on Wednesday so I can post the agenda.
So you'll be able to do that?
Is Wednesday at like 5 p.m. fine, or what? Can you be give me a harder deadline?
No, we close at 4:30, so it would need to be probably like by 3.
Okay, I should be able to do that. I can make that work.
Cool. Okay. All right. So, another meeting, Thursday, 6 p.m. Okay, okay.
Dr. Passion, this is Lisa, too. I just wanted to let you know that we did have someone who kept checking the line to see if there were some available spots within the 30-line phone call. And was continually able to get in. Now, that doesn't mean that there may have been people on who dropped off, and so then there was some open. But I just do want to let you know that we tried to do that. Once I saw that the newslets were picking this up, I had a concern that a 30-line phone line was not going to be enough, but it was too late for us to have you switched, you know, to get out a different number for people to call into that had a larger capacity. We'll certainly want to make sure we have that for future meetings.
Thank you very much, and I think that's a lesson that we learned today. So, Stephanie, if you could make sure that we have more phone lines for any other meeting we have.
Yeah, I will.
Please, thank you. Okay? All right. So, meeting is set for Thursday at 6 p.m. Final draft will be get out on the agenda Wednesday, and that hopefully we'll be able to approve it or disapprove it and get it off to the Board of Supervisors. Okie doke. Okay. All right. Okay, so since we don't have a final draft, we can't have an action. So the what?
Oh, never mind.
Okay, so I'd like to see if anyone in the Board of Health has any comments. John Cooley?
Should we invite somebody from the university or the athletic department for input before we get that final draft?
I guess we could. I'm gonna kind of tell you. It sounds like almost the university is kind of beating us to the punch with this, which I'm really pretty happy with. And many things that I'm hearing from Louisa, and I kind of think, you know, if we invite the university, why don't we invite every business owners? You know, there are certain things that you say that our recommendations are that kind of are above that. And considering that we're thinking primarily that this is to save lives, it's not going to be like, well, we don't want you to do this because of this. Well, if you can tell us that it's not medically indicated. You know, that's one of the things I asked Les to do when she was listening to all this, to see if there was anything that we were proposing was not medically indicated. So your answer is they're welcome to make their comments, and it'll be a public meeting, but to specifically invite them, they know we're having a public meeting. I mean, my gosh, everybody knew we were having this meeting. And there is a representative on the line from ISU, and so they'll know it, and they'll be able to be here if they wish to be.
Okay.
And I have a comment on that, too. I know that Iowa State is making some additional working groups for kind of opening back up and fall planning, and so my understanding is that some of those working groups, their efforts will be to communicate across different entities, including Story County Board of Health, Story County Public Health, and other entities. So I think that things will be coming in the future where they will be seeking our active collaboration. And I agree with Dr. Passion that ISU representatives were on today and probably will be continuing to be involved.
Okay. All right. So, John, any other comments?
No.
Okay. Louisa?
Just a couple of comments. It's important that we remain in contact. I don't remember now. I didn't get quite which representative from ISU was in on this talk tonight. But I think they should be contacted, maybe the Dean of LAS and Medicine Science and the College of Agriculture Dean, because they are putting out, from what I get from our ISU mail, all these different suggestions. Secondly, I think we ought to be in contact with the Ames City Council. They have also come out with a lot of recommendations.
I think that is something that I think we really need to kind of continue to talk about, especially after if and when we approve this document about who we share it with and who we're in contact with. But again, we're the Board of Health, and we're giving recommendations to everybody. And certainly everyone has an opportunity to see what we're doing and putting on paper. But I'm going to be quite honest. I think that if we start asking for input before we make our guidance, we'll be here for the next 6 months. And by then, we'll have a vaccine, and it won't be important, it won't be known. I like your idea for getting people involved, but I think the first thing we have to do is we have to get out there what we feel should happen. And then it's fun, you know?
Yeah, I did see in the Tribune online actually announced our Board of Health meeting today at 6 p.m.
Okay.
So that was very helpful. So that'll be good if, you know, if the next one will also be announced somehow in the Ames Tribune.
Very good. Okay. Thank you. Okay. Molly?
Nothing further. Thanks.
Okay. Even though you have said a lot. Mark?
Yeah. Is Les still on the phone?
Yes, I am.
Les, given this uptick of new cases, what age group are you seeing this uptick in? Can you give me a range?
Yes, I can. We're seeing an increase in the 19 to 25-year-olds. As of the end of the week, I do my weeks through Sunday through Saturday, and last week we were at, by the end of Saturday, we were at 44. And about half or a little bit over half of those were in that age range of 18 to 24. But and then the next age range goes into the 20s up into the 40-year-olds. And that's pretty common across the state of Iowa. They combine those two groups together. And if you look on the website, that is the leading age group for this group as well.
Okay. So in this age, this, I guess you said 18 to 24, and then what?
25.
Yeah, or 25. What? Can you give me a little, what are their symptoms, or how are they? Are they really sick? Are they somewhat sick? How would you characterize their illness or their?
I can't tell you that at this point in time they are not taxing our healthcare system. We actually had to turn our contact tracing over to the Iowa Department of Public Health because the numbers were too high, and with the staff that I have, we were unable to keep up with all the contacts and then the contact tracing. But at the point in time that we gave that up, the individuals that we spoke with were not that ill. They had minimal symptoms such as, cold, maybe runny nose, sore throat, that type of thing, but not as ill as some of the other individuals we've seen.
Maybe that pretty much true in the 24 to 40 age too? Same symptoms?
In general, yes. The thing that I like to remind individuals, though, is that, you know, we always, even if we have minimal symptoms and we are carrying it, we need to keep that in mind for those that are at risk. So if my daughter, let's say, had COVID and she came home to see me and I care for my parents, those are the kinds of things that we need to keep in mind. Even though this age group isn't necessarily that ill, I just always, when visiting with them, like to remind them of how this spreads and that we need to keep the individuals at risk in mind so that we keep the whole community healthy.
Yeah, I think that's very good. I agree with that 100%.
Okay.
That's why I was wondering what their symptoms were and how they were passing this on, but I can see where that happened very easily.
Great. Very good. Okay. Thank you, Mark, and thank you, Les. Any further comments? Okay. I have one final comment to my fellow Board of Health members. I want to express my appreciation for your input, your time, as well as your expertise. During the Spanish influenza epidemic from 1918 to 1919, when there was, I think, a mortality rate of 25%, there is a paucity of things written from that time about how people were acting and what they were doing. And the supposition is that people were ashamed of how they acted during their pandemic that they were dealing with. I think when this pandemic is over, you can all say that you've acted honorably, and I appreciate it. I'd like to call for some a move for adjournment.
So moved.
Okay, we got a move and second. Any further discussion? All those in favor, say aye. Meeting adjourned. Good night, folks.
Aye.
Thank you very much.